people. Finally, in our meditation on the qualities of Jesus, the love, again I come back to where we were on the first night. As we watch Jesus' love, we see all the things I believe we've talked about tonight, but ultimately what we see is what the centurion saw. This man must have been a son of God. We see God revealed. Love is a revelation of God wherever it is. Any love, all love is a revelation of God. The love of that Mary of Magdala for Jesus revealed God to Jesus, so he was able to see what she was capable of doing. Love, wherever you find it, is a revelation of God. So don't let's stamp on it, don't let's be cruel to it, don't let's judge, don't let's pass laws against it or keep laws there that are, again, let's be very delicate when it comes to any kind of love. Let's affirm it and fan it and let it come into something perhaps more beautiful. That woman needed to love more beautifully than she was able to. He enabled it by recognizing what was in her as of God, and the stream then flowed much more readily in her. Jesus revealed God to us. The text that I'd like to keep before your mind is that I did have it somewhere to reflect on with you. The same God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our minds to radiate the knowledge of the glory of God as on the face of Jesus. The glory of God was seen on the face of Jesus by Paul, by Mary of Magdala, by these people. When they looked at him, they saw God's glory. And what is God's glory? The glory they saw there. The glory of God is a person who's fully alive. And full human living, says Irenaeus, is to see God. Jesus was fully alive on a cross in an agony. He lived his feelings and his movements to the full, whatever whole range they were. He didn't escape from them, run from them, cover them, pretend them. He lived his need. He lived all of it to the full. So those who saw him said. And it was full human life that he lived. It was full human life, because unlike our lives, which sometimes try to be but get distracted, his life was seeing God. His eyes, his heart were directed to God, and he saw God and therefore was able to live it. And what we see the centurion and you and me as we watch him loving in all the scenes that we've looked at tonight, we're watching God love. John chapter 5, chapter 6, verse 57, he says, "As I draw life from the Father, so he, she who eats me will live from me." He drew life from God, and people knew it, sensed it, tasted it, felt it. His love was a religious love. His love somehow took them into their deepest religious experience of him. We looked at this on our first night, didn't we? That when they saw meaning, it was the really evocative and deep meaning of the journey of life that they saw. And his love, the love we've been trying to watch tonight, in the ultimate analysis, and the ultimate thing I think we can say about it, like the New Testament, is that it revealed God. But he is revealing God. He's also revealing man to us. Man, I mean by man, the same man that's in the word woman. The man that's common to both man and woman, the human. That is what is revealed to us there as we watch him. And so I conclude my by reading to you a statement that Edward Schillebeck has in his book on Christ, page 831, if you wanted it, look up later. We realize this, he says, that ultimate failure, the ultimate meaningless of human life. We all fail. Mary of Magdala failed, Peter failed, the Gospel's full of people who failed. But ultimate failure, says Schillebeck, definitive evil, unreconciled suffering, have their real, final, and terrifying form only in people's reluctance and inability to love. That is the definition of what the great religious traditions call hell. A failure that people cannot and will not any longer entrust to the living God. A resolute insistence on success, which finds its strength only in tyranny and in dishonoring fellow human beings. End of quotation. What Jesus showed us forever, oh that we would look at it, is that anything dehumanizing has nothing to do with God. Anything unloving cannot be to do with God. Any law, anything at all that can, by the ordinary empirical evidence of our eyes, can be seen to be against life and to be not loving, has nothing at all to do with God. Now that's clear, it's definite, I even shouted it at you, I'm sorry. But that is, and yet, the Pharisees didn't know that, and their religion was cluttered with evil things that were in God's name. And so it is still, and I suppose so it will ever be. But as we go back now and ask, who is Jesus? The effect of it on what we think who God is going to be dramatic. It must be, because it's a revelation of God we're watching. The effect on what religion means must be dramatic. The effect on what the meaning of life is must be dramatic. The feeling of what we are called to be. I give you, said Jesus at the Last Supper, a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. And by this, he said, all will know that you're my disciples by the love you have one for another. Staying then with that final scene on the cross and concluding now, a statement of Jules Chevalier, the founder of the order to which I belong. He said this, and I think it captures what I've been trying to share with you tonight as he himself looked at Jesus on the cross. From the heart of Jesus pierced on Calvary, I see a new world coming forth. A great and life-giving world inspired by love and mercy. A world which the church must perpetuate on the whole earth. And if Father Chevalier will allow me to use that to summarize tonight's lecture, as we look at the heart of Jesus pierced on Calvary, we see a world coming forth inspired by compassion, inspired by a passionate zeal that cares where everything matters, inspired by forgiveness, inspired by clarity that sees God, inspired by humility, inspired by communion, a giving and receiving, a needing everybody, a recognition that everyone has something to give, a delight in other people's gifts, inspired by a self-giving, faithful, God-revealing love. And if that's the world that Jesus showed us, then getting to know him, if we could all dare to look long enough, we might get enchanted by it. We might even want to listen to him tell us that it's possible for us. And now I go back to where I began my lecture. Paul, recognizing all this, said Jesus didn't tell us to do something we couldn't do, because Jesus was like us. He knew and understood. You can embrace lepers, I can embrace lepers. You can do all of the things on that page, and so can I. And Paul says to them, do it. Work for love, doesn't he? He's asking people to... It's possible. In fact, Jesus dared to say, you'll do even greater things than I've done. Now, you mightn't want to believe that. Jesus didn't have any problem saying it. And you might. Because what he saw, you can see. And the experience of his father that he had, you can have. Because of him, thank God, because he showed the possibility of it and made it possible for us. But it is possible. Human life is possible the way Jesus lived it. We might die on a cross doing it. That'd be the ultimate tragedy, but then it wouldn't be the ultimate tragedy, because if you die on a cross doing it, as beautifully as Jesus did, you'll have lived a beautiful life. Whereas if we eke out our existence and waste our time in other ways, we will not know life nor give it, and then we won't be redeemed.